Today's podcast is sponsored by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. It's the only conservative alternative to AARP. Join today at amac.us/Carter. Today, I will be joined by my Congressman Chip Roy here in Texas. I'm so excited to have Congressman Roy here on the podcast. This is the first time he's been on the podcast. I've had the pleasure of meeting him several times down at the southern border, where the congressman spends quite a bit of time as well, trying to make sense of what the Biden administration is doing. I think we all know what that is. I think there is a policy in place to disrupt and create chaos at our southern border. And that's what I'm going to be talking to him about, as well as our economy, our energy crisis. Here's a Texas congressman. He knows a lot about what's happening here in Texas on the ground, and how the Biden administration is just making a mess of things for Americans. And folks, I'm going to put out that warning. I'm going to put out that warning. Like I've said on the other podcasts, we are going to look at food shortages coming up. We are going to see our economy get worse. I do believe that. I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but the facts are laid out before us. We can hope, and I hope that things will get better. I don't want them to get worse. I want them to get better, but I don't believe they will. We have a bunch of idiots right now in this administration running our country into the ground. And you know what? Some of them are idiots, and some of them, I believe, are doing this purposefully. Purposefully, the Biden administration's total failure to protect our country and what needs to be done about land purchase and foreign nationals as well. We're going to be talking about that here. Why are the Chinese buying our land? Why are the Chinese Communist Party members coming to America and purchasing hundreds of thousands of acres of our land? Why? Some of them near our classified and highly secure facilities, some of them near our military installations. We are going to be asking these questions. We are going to be talking about it. We're not going to be afraid to ask those questions. I'll also cover how soft on crime policies in deep blue cities are forcing businesses to close. What did you think would happen, right? What did you think would happen, Nancy Pelosi, to California? What did you think would happen, AOC? What do you think would happen, lovely Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, when you are soft on crime and you punish those that are actually trying to do the right thing, like our police officers, our law enforcement officials of all kinds, our first responders? What do you think is going to happen when you punish them and you give all the rights to the criminals? Please follow and subscribe. Get all the links at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com. And folks, while you are there, I would like you to sign up for our email list so that you do not get shadow banned. This way you and I can stay in touch. I can send you all the latest stories. I can send you my columns and you can see what the latest is. And by the way, you can get all of our links for all my social media and get all the downloads there as well. Very important. I read your emails as well. So please feel free to email me, leave a review wherever you get your downloads, wherever you get your podcasts, go ahead and do that. Leave a review and I will read them as well. And before we get to Congressman Chip Roy, before we get there, I want to talk to you a little bit about what happened on my weekend. Some of you may have seen it because you follow me on Instagram. I posted a little bit on Twitter, but Twitter is more political, I think, sometimes. So I don't put as much on there. But my beautiful, beautiful daughter, my baby girl, Sophia, got married this weekend in Wyoming. And it was just, I'm going to cry. It was one of the best days of my life. You know, having her, having my children, I love my kids. I love all my children. My husband and I have six between us. And to see Sophia, our second that is now married, our oldest Erica is married and has four beautiful children, and they're just amazing. But to see Sophia walk down that aisle, like she just looked like the most beautiful princess I'd ever seen in my life. And she was just so happy. And I was just so happy for her and Parker. And, you know, we wanted that weekend to be just the best day of her life, right? And we made it so that it was family and close friends. And we were out in Wyoming and Idaho as well. So we stayed in Idaho and we had the wedding in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And it was like the way it should be. It was everything that our country, and I think is, you know, it was family, friends, love, cowboys, because we've got a lot of cowboys in our family and a lot of friends who are cowboys and cowgirls. And so obviously we went river rafting afterwards. We went to the Jackson Hole Rodeo. It was amazing. It was just spending time together, barbecuing by the campfire, you know, sitting out at night and, you know, in the mountains, and we could see the Grand Tetons from where we were at on both sides. And it was just stunning. And I think every part of that weekend was like literally a dream for me. It was a dream to see my children so happy. Thankfully, no family dramas. I know we all have them sometimes. This weekend, everybody was on their best behavior. There was no family dramas and not even a thought of it. Everybody was just so, so happy. And I'm just going to cherish that memory for my life. And, you know, just seeing my husband out there so happy. And, you know, her father was there and her uncles and just everybody together and getting along made me realize this is what we're fighting for, you know, in our country. We are fighting for our families. We are fighting for our children. We are fighting to retain their great culture and history that makes us America, right? What makes us all so proud of this nation, what makes me so proud of saying I'm an American. I had never once in my life traveled overseas and felt embarrassed of being an American. Ever in my life. I brag about it with bragging rights. I love it. I love saying I'm an American because we're a melting pot of so many people, of so many cultures. True, we have history just like every other nation on earth. It's not perfect. We are not perfect, but we strive to be more perfect. And we give everybody, even young couples like, you know, Parker and Sophia and our children, they have an opportunity to be something here that they would never have the chance anywhere else in the world. And to just see our young girls just out there doing their thing, you know, river rafting. You know, you guys got to think, I spend a lot of time in countries like in South Asia or in the Middle East, where women don't have like as many rights or hardly any rights at all compared to what we have here in the United States. And I see, you know, so many of these so-called feminists, you know, complaining about America 24/7 and never thinking about like, we really are the most blessed nation on earth. We are able to be anything we want to be, do whatever we need to do. Sure, we got to fight for something sometimes and we got to, you know, hold people accountable, but there is nothing on earth like this beautiful country. There was nothing on earth. I got to tell you guys this. It was so great. It was so great. As they were being married at the end of the wedding, when Sophia was asked, you know, I said, you know, now to Parker said, you may kiss the bride, and Parker went to kiss her. And they released all of these horses on the ranch there in Jackson Hole. And this was at Diamond Ranch. It was beautiful, beautiful. I couldn't even tell you how much I loved it. It was just stunning. And they were just so great. That they were great to all of us. It was a beautiful wedding venue. And all of these quarter horses just started running in the fields behind them with the Grand Tetons in the distance. And as the sun was setting, I mean, you guys got to look at some of these pictures. I'm going to be posting more on my Instagram, but literally the rays of sunlight jetted out. It was so beautiful from behind the mountains, and it just looked like a dream. So, okay, enough bragging. I love my family. I will do, you know, just like you, anything for my family if I can. I'll do what my best to give them, everything I can give them. And I think the most important thing that we give each other is love. And by the way, we did all our own makeup. We barbecued, you know, our wedding dinner, our rehearsal dinner was a big barbecue with everyone at the house. We had an Airbnb up in the mountains and, you know, and we drank a lot of beer. We did that American tradition. We drank a lot of beer. We did have some tequila there and some, you know, Tito's vodka, not Russian vodka, Tito's. And we just had fun and we had ribs and hamburgers and hot dogs and just real down to earth. And I just want to thank everybody who was there, who, if you're listening to this podcast, that you guys all made it just the best day of my life and her father's life and Marty's life. We just really love all of you. And most of all, we love you, Sophia and Parker. And I just pray every day that God will bless you and give you all the happiness that you guys deserve. You're the best kids in the world, all of you, and we're very, very lucky. So now that I've gotten through that, I hope, I'm going to be talking to Congressman Chip Roy in a little bit. But before I get there, I want to tell you guys what's going on. I mean, have you guys been watching the news with Immigration and Customs Enforcement? If you haven't, you need to go to my website, sarahacarter.com. Don't forget the A, sarahacarter.com. And it is about ICE running out of money. That former chief of staff for the U.S. Customs, Immigration and Customs Enforcement was warning that there is no money for what the Biden administration is doing at the southern border. John Fear told the Daily Caller News Foundation that ICE does need a significant increase in enforcement resources, commensurate with Biden's influx of illegal immigration, and Congress must fund thousands more officers and detention beds for starters. But for what? This is my question. I agree with John. I think the Biden administration has completely failed our nation purposefully. I don't believe this is a mistake. So we give ICE money, we give Border Patrol money, which they're not going to do because they want to defund them. But if you have an administration that is working against you, even if you have the money, even if you get the beds, even if you make the apprehensions, they're going to be let go. The administration does not want to kick people back to their countries of origin or to detain them for any long period of time if they can help it. They want to release them. This year alone, we are expecting over 169,000 plus unaccompanied minors. That does not include everyone else, folks. That does not include everyone. These are just unaccompanied children. When it was considered probably a catastrophe was under the Obama administration, and that was over 65,000 children. This year alone, 169,000 or so children coming across the border unaccompanied. We don't even know who their parents are. ICE is supposed to determine like who to kick them to. Like, do I give them to this guardian? Is this really a parent? Do you think they blood test? Do you think they even know where these children are going? These children and many of the people that are coming across that border, adults as well, are being trafficked by human traffickers, almost all of them, into the United States and drug traffickers. Our Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, as well as our Border Patrol, you know, our Border Patrol agents and our DEA, our FBI, people that are working in this area of the world, in this area, dealing with the southern border, are feeling hopeless. There's nothing they can do. Give them all the money in the world. If the administration does not back them, if they don't have the backing of Congress, remember, November cannot come fast enough. If they do not have that, what use is it? What can they do? Look at what's happened to many of our agents on the border. Many of them are terrified of doing their job. They're afraid that they are going to be stuck in a mess if they go after one of these migrants and something goes sideways, that they have to defend themselves, that they have to shoot at one of the migrants. Or let's just be honest, if they have to shoot at one of the drug dealers bringing dope across the border, if they're being threatened. These Border Patrol agents, these Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers do not have anybody to back them. I was talking to them just this past week. I've been talking as well to Texas DPS. And they said, this is a mess. This is the reason why Texas DPS under Governor Greg Abbott is delivering all the people. Abbott said, go ahead, National Guard, pick them up. Go ahead, DPS, pick them up, take them to the border. Take them right back over to Customs and Border Protection, drop them off at the port of entry, let the feds handle it there. National Guard, DPS, drop them off. Because you know what's happening? They're coming across the border and they're just disappearing into our communities. And that's what's going on. And Governor Abbott and the rest of them want the rest of America to see what's actually going on. And you know what? If you allow Border Patrol, it's not their fault. DHS is telling them to do this, to wrangle up 300 and 400 behind a pecan orchard out in Del Rio and hide them by putting them onto a bus and then shipping them away. The American people have no idea what's going on. They won't know that over 2 million people, nearly 3 million, have come into this country since Biden was put into office. They won't see the 165 plus thousand or whatever they're expecting children to come across the border. They won't see it. It's all smoke and mirrors, guys. If we don't demand from our offices and from our lawmakers and from this executive branch that they protect us, protect our nation, and by the way, protect the people that are being trafficked into this country, because there is such a thing as human slavery. You all heard it on my previous podcast with Rosie Orozco. She's doing everything she can. And this isn't like, oh, I'll deal with this later. This isn't my problem. No, it really is your problem. It really is, because all of these people that are being allowed into our country, all of these children, all of these women, they are moving from the border and they are going across the United States and they are coming into your communities. They're overwhelming the school systems. They're going to need social services and help. And so many of these young children are being abused and no one is there to help them. And what happens when you have, you know, entire groups of people that have been either abused, physically abused, sexually abused, who have come from really terrible, tragic situations, and then they're just dumped off with no help at all except for our taxpayer dollars, assistance given to them for maybe housing or medical. What do you think happens in those circumstances? We're going to be talking about what happens in America under those circumstances. In communities like San Francisco and Chicago, we're going to talk about that later in the show, but where you have crime surging and radical leftist Democrats doing everything to impede the ability of law enforcement officers in the interior to do their jobs. So now businesses are closing. And you know, some of them deserve to shut down. This is where you have woke businesses that basically ostracize and cancel people who were telling them, look, you can't do this. I was in Portland. I saw it for myself. I go to San Francisco. I saw it for myself there. LA, I've seen it. I've seen it in Chicago. I've seen it in other parts of the country where you have Democrat-run cities and you have people there trying to defund police, creating these low bail, no bail laws, not allowing police to do their jobs when they make arrests, saying, well, you can, you know, steal up to $900 worth of stuff and we're not going to really do anything to you. Okay. Well, then you're going to have lawbreakers that are going to steal $900 each. You know, you're going to have people raid Walmart or raid a Walgreens or go into a CVS and just steal up to $900 worth of merchandise, each one of them, and then walk out the store without even worrying about being arrested by a police officer. So this is a problem across our entire country, guys. We really have to remember, and this is going back, I know I'm going back to the wedding again, but it was just such a moment for me. It made me realize this is what our nation is all about. This is a, you know, that was a great American weekend. That was a weekend that really made me realize again that this is our only life here. This is our nation. We're trying to preserve it for the future, for our children, for our grandchildren. This beautiful land where you have family, where you have the great frontiers still, you have cowboys, where you have ranches. We still have ranches. I know they're trying to get rid of them, but we still have them. Where we want to preserve our culture. We're a mix of people from all over the world, but our culture is a significant one. It's one that believes in law and order. We believe in justice. We believe in freedom. We believe in liberty. And we're watching that slowly erode. And we cannot let that happen. We cannot let that happen. And I hope y'all get to take a great weekend away with your families and find a place in America where you can go and just either go camping or go rafting or hiking and just spend some time away from everything and just put it all into your families, into your children, and just let them know how much you love them and just enjoy it. I'm telling you, once you let that spirit of America back in, you're going to be ready with me for the fight of your life. This is going to be for the fight of our lives, for the fight of our nation come November. We're all going to get out there and we're going to do our part. And we are going to make sure to preserve this nation and, you know, and our way of life so that future generations of Americans that are going to come here the right way, a legal way, are going to have the same blessed opportunities that we have here. Hey guys, before I get to Congressman Roy, I want to tell you about MyPillow. You know I love MyPillow. I love MyPillow slippers. I love MyPillow dog beds. All my dogs have them. I love MyPillow sheets. I love Mike Lindell and I love his company, a great American company that sponsors this show. Thank you so much, Mike, for being such a great part of this show. And now we have the sale of the year. Listen to this. On MyPillow bed sheets. Queen size regular price, $89.98, is now only $39.98 with the promo code. I'm buying them. I'm buying them. You buy them. These are the best sheets ever. They're soft, they're beautiful, they're breathable, and they're cool and crisp. And no matter how many times you wash them, they are amazing. So go to mypillow.com/Carter or call 1-800-685-7221. For deep discounts on the MyPillow Percal bed sheets. Queen size, listen to this, regular, $89.98, now only $39.98. How can you beat that? You just can't. While there, take advantage of the buy one, get one free sale on MyPillows, towel sets, and so much more. Visit MyPillow.com/Carter or call 1-800-685-7221 today for the sale of the year on MyPillow Percal bed sheets. MyPillow.com/Carter or call 1-800-685-7221.
CPAC Chairman Matt Schlapp explains why firing Nancy Pelosi and winning the midterms needs to be our white-hot focus, or 2024 might not even matter. I'm Bill Walton. On the latest edition of The Bill Walton Show, Matt and I also discuss how a small number of leftists are ruining our corporations and institutions and why conservative ideas are better because they work and they make us happy. Follow The Bill Walton Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so happy to have Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. The first time you've been on my podcast, Congressman Roy. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to do it. It's a pleasure to be with someone who's not only a great voice for conservatism, but a constituent, and blessed to have you in Texas and blessed to be on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I am blessed to be here in Texas. I think this is a phenomenal state. I spent so much of my career covering stories out here. I feel like it's home for me. In fact, some law enforcement officials joke around that this was my home even before I moved here, just because I've spent so much time here. And that's something I want to talk to you about, because I just want to start off at the top. It was a headline that came up several days ago. Chip Roy rages as Mexican president over Beto O'Rourke endorsement. I mean, I don't think that surprised me coming from AMLO, who is a leftist radical anyways. But just the fact that a Mexican president is getting so vested and involved in U.S. politics the way that he has, and the way I've seen in the past, that's got to be That's got to be very frustrating.
Yeah, it's a little bit galling. I mean, look, to have the president of Mexico come out and endorse the Democratic candidate, Beto O'Rourke, against my governor, against Governor Greg Abbott, because the governor is daring to take steps to try to fill the void that this president, President Biden, is leaving at our border, take steps to try to secure a border. Maybe not, frankly, even as far as I might go, but to do the things like put razor wire, put containers down there, deploy DPS troopers, go fill the gaps, back up Border Patrol, a Border Patrol that is overwhelmed because this president refuses to do his constitutional duty. Then to have the Mexican president go after my governor and to say that, oh, not only does he support Beto O'Rourke, he encourages, quote, his countrymen to support O'Rourke. So wait, what exactly is he saying? Is he saying that there are Mexican nationals that come to the United States and vote in our elections, and that he somehow wants to choose O'Rourke because they support open borders, and somehow that's good for Mexico? My message to Obrador is stay the hell in Mexico, leave America alone, and actually do your job to stop the narco-terror state that's empowering cartels and endangering Americans. And I invited him if he wanted to have a meeting, that we could have a meeting and we could do it in San Jacinto.
Oh, that's... That's awesome. That's awesome. And historical, too. You can make new history there. I was going to say, I completely agree with you. I remember I've been covering this border now, feels like for nearly two decades. And I remember when Vicente Fox was president. And I remember when he took out ads in the United States, like basically ads that were that advertised coming here illegally. Like, I couldn't even believe it when I saw it. So do you think, like, when you see something like this, you see a Mexican government getting vested in our politics, it makes it all the more real, I think, what the Democrats are doing, the radical left here in the United States, by keeping a chaotic border wide open? This part of their new liberal world order that they talk about, that we don't have any sovereignty. They just want people to come flooding into the U.S. and put them in office, and with the help of their leftists in Central America and Mexico.
Well, thank you for saying that, because that's the real issue, right? I hear a lot of Republicans speculating about, oh, they want, you know, voters, they want to, you know, attract folks from Mexico and the Northern Triangle and South America, so they have more voters in America. And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's part of their motive, although I think a lot of Hispanic Americans are getting tired of getting taken for granted. I think we're seeing a lot of movement in South Texas, particularly American citizens who are Hispanic, who are sick of it and want to see a secure border. And they're tired of fentanyl and they're tired of the dangerous cartels having control, operational control of our border. But you mentioned it, the liberal world order, that the deputy spokesperson for the White House under the Biden administration actually trumpeted, actually got out in front of a camera and talked about the liberal world order. I think that's actually more what's driving the open borders mentality. I think that's what it's all about. Anybody come and go, sovereignty, there is no sovereignty. It's just one big happy world order. We should all bow down to the climate gods. We should all go to Davos and hang out and do what all the Europeans do. Oh, we should, you know, work with China. No. We should be very clear. We're a sovereign America. We're a great country. We're an exceptional country. We should secure our border, but we should actually act on that and export the rule of law. Tell Mexico what they're going to do. Don't sit down and ask them. Tell Mexico what they're going to do. They're going to secure our border. They're going to secure their border. We're going to knock the knees out from under the cartels that are endangering American citizens. And then we're going to get busy building a strong Western Hemisphere to push back on China. That would be a responsible policy. The administration isn't doing that. And God bless Texans for trying to step into the breach. I think Texas now has to go further, and I'm advocating for that.
I think that's absolutely brilliant that you're saying this. I think that is the most important point. And it's the reason why I brought up the liberal world order, because we are watching what China is doing across the board, across the globe, investing in Africa, investing in Central America, moving into South America, buying up land in our own country here in the great state of Texas, right near an Air Force base in Del Rio. We have seen people that connected to the Chinese Communist Party come in, purchase up hundreds of thousands of acres of land. What is going on here? And why is America selling out? I'm talking about the Biden administration and other administrations that have made that possible, because I think this is a really dangerous situation we're in right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, we're selling out by allowing the Western Hemisphere to crumble, by allowing Mexico to weaken, by allowing the cartels to strengthen. But you just acknowledged that we're selling out by allowing China to exploit all that weakness, drive fentanyl into our country, and then, oh, by the way,
that's
buy up American land. And they're buying land by our bases. And they're buying up agriculture and farmland. They're buying up meat processing plants. And we're asleep at the switch. I've introduced legislation to ban anybody affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party from buying land. I'm going to continue to fight that message. I think it ought to be a central pillar to our national security message as Republicans to prevent that. We could ban that tomorrow. In fact, the Texas legislature should ban non-Texans from owning Texas dirt. Like, I think the Texas legislature ought to say no. I don't care even if you're from another part of the United States. We want Texans to own Texas land. And I think we need to be aggressive on that front. And let me make a side note, which may seem trivial, but I actually think it's important. I played college golf. You've got the LIV Tour now with Saudi Arabia taking a bunch of money and dumping it in to basically buy off the PGA Tour. I think that's wrong. I think having the Saudi, you know, multi-billion, $680 billion investment fund come in and buy a 100-year-old institution, the PGA Tour. We have an event right in our district right there in Central Texas in North San Antonio. It's important to our communities. But more important than that, the 9/11 families are saying, what the hell? Why are we going to allow a Saudi investment fund to come in and basically purchase and buy off the entire professional golf world away from the PGA, the Professional Golfers of America? I think that's wrong. It's more of the same. Stop allowing these foreign entities and foreign nationals to buy up American resources.
Right. And I agree with you on that. I did see a story on that. You are one of the few people that stand up and fight and expose what's actually happening with foreign investment in the United States. You brought up fentanyl. I'm going to go right there because I think this is so important. I call it irregular warfare by China. The Chinese Communist Party knows exactly what's going on 24/7 in their nation. When there is exports of fentanyl, they are allowing in fentanyl precursor chemicals. They're allowing to go into Mexico. The Mexican drug cartels are, of course, you know, mixing and putting the batches together there, shipping them into the United States. And what was so fascinating to me was an actual U.S. government report. So I'm not making this up. This is an actual report from the U.S. Treasury and others that the money that is being made here illegally by the drug cartels is being laundered where? Through Chinese banks. Through banks in China. The Chinese are actually allowing the cartels to move their money through their banks so that we don't even have any access to that. Maybe you think I'm going too far, but I would say that the Chinese government allowing fentanyl into our country, over 107,000 deaths, all the disabilities that have happened from that drug use, the fact that they are counterfeit pills that look like Percocet and Oxycontin and everything else. It's like it's a deadly pill on our streets. We've never seen that before to this extent. I would say it's irregular warfare.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And it's purposeful. We know it's purposeful. Unfortunately, a lot of our own party, Republicans, are burying their head in the sand. They don't want to label the cartels as the terrorist organizations that they are. They don't want to call out China and Mexico for their collusion to driving fentanyl up through Mexico into the hands of the cartels and then into the hands of our young Americans. You said it, 107,000, the faces of fentanyl. I've worked with a lot of the organizations here in America about the dead Americans, particularly our young, taking Xanax or taking Adderall. I'm not saying those are good practices or smoking pot or even doing cocaine and other drugs where we've seen them all laced with fentanyl. Probably shouldn't be doing those things. But when they do, they're taking a pill that they think is a harmless pill, like Xanax, because they want to chill out for exams or something. And suddenly it's laced with fentanyl and they're dead. And that's happening. One pill, you're dead. And we've had a famous University of Texas football star. We had an NFL star recently. We've had numerous people in the district I represent where you end up having multiple deaths. You'll have somebody who took fentanyl knowingly or unknowingly, but usually unknowingly because it's laced on something they thought was safe. They go into cardiac arrest. Someone there tries to help them, and then they go into cardiac arrest from the transitive property of this very, very dangerous narcotic. The American people don't understand what's happening. This makes the cocaine epidemic of the 80s look trivial. The number of people who are dying, who are engaged in what they think is harmless activity, and the Chinese know it, the Mexican cartels know it, the Mexican government knows it and they don't care.
Right.
Instead, they're in bed with Beto O'Rourke. And the federal government of the United States is abandoning their responsibility to secure the border. And it is left to us to say enough. And that's what we're doing. It's an invasion. We should stand up. And at the end of the day, when someone's invading your house, you don't go check the criminal procedure book and you don't call a lawyer. You grab your gun and you figure out how to defend your home. And that's where we are as Texans. And that's the way we need to think.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Congressman. And I would say that the federal government, especially the Biden administration, is well aware of what's going on here in the state of Texas. And in fact, I think it is their policy. It is their policy to create chaos and to leave the border wide open. I blame the Biden administration for the deaths under his administration because he knows what's going on, the humanitarian crisis at the border and the drug cartel crisis that we're facing at the border, including all that contraband. And over the last several weeks, several Texas counties have actually declared an invasion. I'm so proud to be from this great state of Texas right now. And you've spoken in support of these declarations. Is there any way to describe what's actually happening there and what steps need to be taken? What Americans can do? I think every American should support what the Texas counties are doing because it doesn't stay here in Texas. It goes to every single one of your states, folks. It goes into your communities, into your schools, into your hospitals. It affects every part of our nation. What happens right here on our border?
Yes, sir. I could not agree more. I happened to be in Eagle Pass, Texas, with the Border Patrol inspecting the border yet again. Interacted with about 400 people who had crossed the border from generally Cuba, Venezuela, Colombia, Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Talked to them. Why are you coming, et cetera? They're all, you know, struggling in the heat. Border Patrol was helping them. But, you know, that's every day. 8,000 people crossing every single day. The ranchers in South Texas, the county attorneys, the judges, the folks, the sheriffs on the law enforcement on the front lines, they've had it. And so they're calling for a declaration of an invasion. I was in Brackettville with the leadership of the counties in South Texas and about, I think, six counties represented there. And there are more than that who are engaging in this. And they all stood up and said, we're being invaded. And they're asking the governor, lieutenant governor, and the attorney general to step into that breach. And look, it is a hard question, right? This is a big deal. But at the end of the day, you recognize an invasion when you see it. And you don't need a bunch of redcoats marching across the field to be being invaded. When fentanyl's being poured into your schools, when you have dangerous armed cartels with insurgencies into the United States, when you have Americans dying, ranchers dying, migrants dying, when that's the reality of what's happening throughout our country, then you're being invaded. And that is something we have to take seriously. I'm glad the counties are. I think the state should. The Attorney General of Arizona issued an opinion. And just so everybody understands what that means, it means that the Constitution, the founders contemplated that if we are not being protected by the federal government, through the compact that was the Constitution, then we do have the right as a state to stand up and defend our people. The Constitution says it explicitly. We should act upon it because the federal government is abandoning its duty. It's an impeachable offense. That's a different conversation. Right now, we need to stop the bleeding and we need to defend our state and defend our country.
I think that's very interesting that you brought up it's an impeachable offense because I absolutely do believe it is. And I also believe that we're living in times that are really strange, like the evolution of, I would say, what's happened over the last 4 or 5 decades, even in our own educational system, you know, the changes that we've seen in people, ideology. Does it just drive you crazy when you see Americans? And I'm talking, it's different than Vietnam. It's different than those that oppose the war in Vietnam. It's this feeling that our children and our, and especially our college grads, and a lot of them are being indoctrinated into this idea that America is some kind of colonialist, horrific nation, that our Constitution should be shredded and we should start all over again. I have never in my life would imagine hearing that from, you know, and I'm hearing it more and more all the time. But I do believe there are more people in this country that believe in this nation, that believe in its constitution, that believe in its goodness. And we see that at the border. Otherwise, people would be going to Russia, you know, they'd be flocking to Cuba, flocking to Venezuela. But no, everybody comes here because everybody knows this is it. This is the last bastion of hope.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. You know, my friend, Senator Ted Cruz, tells the great story often about his father, who's a great friend of mine, who left Cuba, came to Texas with $100 sewn in his boxer shorts, and then worked his way through school at the University of Texas. I drive by the little place, I think it's a TCBY now, but it was an old diner that he worked in the kitchen in the 1960s and made his way through school. That is the American story. We are turning that all on its head. We are saying that everybody should get subsidized loans to go get degrees that are utterly worthless so they can sit in the basement of their parents' homes when they graduate pontificating on social media. We should stop that. We as parents should stop funding an academia, a university system that are teaching our children that America is evil. And you know what? Stop complaining about it, you fat cat donors out there. Stop sitting in your football boxes in the fall at football games because you're so proud of your alma mater when your alma mater is screwing your country. That's what's happening every single day. I was just back in Charlottesville doing a fundraiser for my colleague, Bob Good, a great patriot and American and a friend of mine. It's about 20 miles outside of Charlottesville. I went to the University of Virginia. That place is completely corrupted now from the top down. Mm-hmm. It is no longer Mr. Jefferson's University and a beacon for all that is great about the public diffusion of knowledge to be able to seek truth wherever it may lead. Instead, it's an indoctrination camp filled with leftists that are undermining the very vision that Mr. Jefferson created for the public diffusion of knowledge. Why do we tolerate that? And you know what? I'm not going to let them have it. I'm not going to walk away and say, well, I'll just go bury my head, go to Hillsdale or go wherever. I think we should take University of Virginia back. I think we should take Texas A&M and University of Texas back. Why do we let our kids get indoctrinated? You said it, and I really am glad you did.
Yeah, well, I mean, this has been an issue, I think, that is becoming more, it resonates more and more with people. We saw it in Loudoun County.
Oh, gosh.
I think when parents stood up because of the COVID mandates, I mean, there was nothing good about what happened during those last few years of COVID other than waking up the American people into what's really happening in our schools, in our public schools especially. I wanted to ask you really quickly about the 6 terrorism suspects that were arrested in June. You talked about the executive branch not doing their job of protecting the American people. We have, since President Biden has been in office, over 800,000 known gotaways, people that we know have escaped and have not been vetted. But what we do know is that since October, 56 members that have been on a terror watch list have been apprehended trying to cross the border between the ports of entry. Can you discuss the national security implications of that and what's the responsibility of the federal government there?
Yeah, absolutely. If you give me a 30-second aside, you mentioned Loudoun County. I've got a poster here, which is Scott Smith, okay? You remember Scott Smith, the father,
yes. Oh my God.
The father of the daughter who was assaulted, yes, in Loudoun County. You know why that's important to me? Because I went to high school in Loudoun County. I know the people there. And what happened there is an absolute abomination. What Merrick Garland was doing and allowing and the DHS and AG and colluding to go after parents. To go after parents as domestic terrorists because they dare challenge school boards. That is another key piece of this, and we're tired of that. And I think it was a wake-up call. We saw it with Youngkin getting elected in Virginia. But all this stuff is tied together. You ask about the terrorists and the connection to terrorism or terrorist countries. I sent a letter to DHS last August. It took 8 months for me to get a response to that letter, where we finally got an answer that there were 42 apprehensions that were tied to terrorist countries. And at the end of the day, when that number is now 50 to 56, those are the apprehensions that for your listeners to understand, that's the people who generally are either seeking out Border Patrol or were happening to run across when in fact 800,000 known gotaways have come through around Border Patrol because they're so busy processing people at these processing centers to release them into the United States, which is what the administration's doing. So do you think the worst actors are among the apprehensions or are the worst actors among the known gotaways? We believe the worst actors are among the known gotaways, and we're talking terrorist affiliations, gang members, murderers, rapists, robbers, and that is now what is happening in our massively exposed borders. And it's a real problem. That's why it's a national security threat. Terrorism, fentanyl, dangerous criminals coming into the United States. It's not about, ooh, you're against brown people. Talk to the brown people in South Texas who are so angry about what's happening to their communities. It's not about brown people. Hell, I'd swap out the entire white liberal elite establishment who graduated from Ivy League universities in a heartbeat with brown people all over the world who want to prosper in the United States of America. It has nothing to do with race.
Right.
It has to do with the rule of law.
And that I agree with you on. I speak Spanish fluently. My mother had a very similar story to Senator Ted Cruz's father. Mm-hmm. She came in the 1960s. I remember her telling me stories about how she would have to go down to the thrift store and the very first pair of shoes she owned here, she cut the back end off because there wasn't a size that fit her right. So she could wear them to go to work at a factory just so she could have extra money. Hardworking, good people, immigrant people, just like we all are, the product of our immigrant families in this beautiful land. And I agree with you. This is not about race. This is about human decency, doing the right thing and the rule of law. But there's two more areas I just want to touch on with you before I let you go. And I know you're so busy. I just want to get your take on energy. Another major threat to our nation is lack of energy independence. This is huge. I think this is a national security risk on our part. You talk a lot about ESG regulations and how they limit energy investment. Right now, I was just reading Bloomberg. And they're talking, I mean, the stock market is just reeling. Our investors are reeling because of the climate czars that want to implement these executive orders at the Biden administration to further regulate American businesses. And what is your take on this? Can we survive this the next 3 years? I mean, we're already seeing gas prices. I don't care if they've dropped just 20 cents. Gas prices are through the roof for families. Our groceries are through the roof. We are paying an arm and a leg for everything. The American family is really feeling this inflation, which I say is we're in a recession right now, I believe. What do you say about what's going on here? What can we survive this the next 3 years under the Biden administration?
Yeah, well, it's hard to believe that the prices of goods and services are going through the roof when the federal government dumped $5 trillion and just printed that money and dumped it out into the economy. And then when this current ruling class of leftists are constraining our ability to have abundant energy. We in Texas in particular, but the United States, sit on a wealth of resources that we can develop for abundant, reliable energy. We are, instead of doing that in a responsible way where, frankly, CO2 levels were going down because we had clean burning natural gas, instead of developing nuclear, instead of developing clean burning natural gas, instead of exporting that liquefied natural gas and growing that for our own national security and the benefit of the entire world, the flourishing of humankind by elevating everybody's ability to adapt and deal with the climate, we're hunkering in the corner, sitting there going, oh my gosh, CO2, which is like 0.3% of the atmosphere. And everybody's freaking out. Meanwhile, we have about 200 and something coal-fired burning plants in America. China has something like 1,200. And they're putting a new one online almost every week right now. Don't talk to me about climate change. Don't do all of your ESG investing that's clamping down on all of our investments so that we can have robust energy production. When you look at China and they're cranking out all of these coal-fired plants, we can't even build one nuclear plant. Ask a leftist if they think the climate's gonna kill this world in the next 10 years. And they say, oh yeah, it's terrible, it's awful. Then ask them if they'll build a nuclear plant and they say, oh, well, no, we can't do that. They're so full of crap. I can't even put it into words. And they're killing our country, killing our kids, killing our ability to advance and prosper as a country. And we should take that head on. Don't go talk about carbon capture. Go talk about robust creation of nuclear powered plants, natural gas fired plants, and putting America on offense. Get rid of all the regulations and get out and go and produce American energy. That's the future.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would have to say that they're the useful idiots for other nations such as China and Russia, as they line their pockets with money, you know, and become the energy giants of the world, throw America in America last, that's there. And then they use these useful idiots, you know, these Sierra Club members and everybody, Green Party members, people within our own government. It's so embarrassing to watch how they play us. And then we have congressional members like you standing up and saying, well, is anybody paying attention? Do you see what's happening to our country? And these idiots in Washington, D.C. are just sitting back, giving away our entire nation.
Well, in the process, you have the president then begging Saudi Arabia for oil. You're empowering the very Russia that you say you want to challenge in Ukraine. And you're empowering China with all of their special minerals to be able to build solar powered, solar panels. It's absurd.
Yeah, thank you. You're absolutely right. And this is the last major topic because I promised I would let you go earlier, but I'm holding on to you just for a second longer. I know we need you up on Capitol Hill fighting the good fight, but it's about recruiting. My husband joined the military. You know, and I tell everyone I'm so proud of him. He's amazing. When he was 17 years old, he joined the military, served his nation for more than 30 plus years. And then went on to work with our, you know, with other government agencies and such, and was wounded in Afghanistan in 2011, fighting terrorists on the battlefield. And now I'm looking at stories, and I know the men and women who have served, and I know we have had great, good friends. God bless you, Brian, you know, gave their lives on the front lines in the battlefield. And now I'm seeing, you know, New York Times, everybody, with few able and fewer willing, the U.S. military can't find recruits. That's a New York Times headline. Fighting headwinds from the pandemic, the tight, and I don't, you know, I think the New York Times is full of it. The tight labor market and demographic shifts, but I think here they may be a little bit right. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're not teaching our children to respect and love our country and to want to fight for it. I think something's happening in our schools. And they're turning against the military.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. We already talked about our failed education system. We're teaching everybody that America's evil, that they should feel guilty about who they are. They should feel guilty about being white. They should feel guilty about everything that America stood for. But on top of that is an ever increasingly woke Department of Defense. From the top down, the brass are advancing a woke agenda unapologetically, having all sorts of positions, all sorts of programs, advancing woke ideology. You have an advancement of ideas like mandatory vaccine mandates in the face of individuals who want to have their own health freedom, not because of military readiness, because there's no indication that the vaccine does anything at all to deal with the spread of the virus, but rather just deals with whether or not it hits you hard. And so there's no real basis for it, yet they're doing it anyway, because it's a power play. So you want to know what's happening? We're at 40% recruitment levels right now in the United States Army. I was at Fort Sam Houston, which you know well, Joint Base San Antonio there in San Antonio. I was there 2 weeks ago with my staff. Their recruiting is very difficult. They are under where they need to be in terms of their recruiting levels. We have real problems with morale in the military. I had a 19-year-old major sitting in my office, and I'm not going to say his name, who was basically the point of tears for a tough military guy. He was right on the edge of tears, because he was staring at losing his ability to finish service in the United States military after 19 years. He was going to be generally discharged because he thought it was not in his health interest to take the shot. Now, how do you maintain a strong military when that's the case? And one final point, when you have the military defense industrial complex and all of the supposed Republican war hawks up here in Washington going out there and blindly supporting a National Defense Authorization Act, blindly supporting the military, when that bill continues this woke nonsense, doesn't stop the vaccine mandate, doesn't do anything to clarify what our role is in Ukraine $56 billion later, doesn't do anything to actually stop the tide of what's happening with our defense and tearing it apart, then what do they expect? So with all due respect to my Republican colleagues who never met a defense bill that they weren't going to support, how are you going to change things if you aren't willing to say no? And that, I think, is a question we need to ask as Republicans. Stop being reflexively hawkish and be intelligently hawkish to have a strong military sparingly used that has the tools it needs to carry out the job when it's called on to do it and the care when they get home and then get the hell out of the way.
Wow, thank God. Stop being reflexively hawkish. I like that. Instead, be intelligently hawkish. I mean, that's what we need. And I agree with you. I always say, you know, don't be bedazzled by all the stars, you know? I mean, we have to think intelligently what we're going to support our military on and our men and women who are on the field, out there in the field, fighting the fight. We're asking them to do, to sacrifice their lives in many cases, right? You know, by being out there, I used to say that in Afghanistan all the time, in Iraq. What are we doing here if we're not giving them a plan of action to win and get the hell out? You know, I mean, that's the important thing. Well, I can't tell you how awesome it's been to have you on the show. I would love to have you back on. I would love for you to come to my studio here in New Braunfels and be a part of the show in person. And thanks again. If there's any message you have for the constituents out here and for the American people who are, I think we're really feeling it. People are really nervous. And this I'll leave up to you. This will be the last question. What would that be? What would your message be to all of us?
Well, first of all, have faith in the Lord. All of this is just us, you know, treading water, buying time on this planet while we're waiting to be with our Lord one day. And so all will be well. And as Americans, we know that. as Americans, we are great. We are great. I was never an enormous lover of the Make America Great Again slogan because I wrote I helped Governor Perry with a book. In the first chapter of the book, the title was America is Great, Washington is Broken. We need to get Washington out of the way, get these bureaucrats out of the way. In Texas, get Austin out of the way. Let Americans do what we do best, even with our broken schools. It's in our DNA as Americans. It's who we are, to go out and prosper, work hard, take care of our families, support the rule of law, stand by our law enforcement, stand by our military, secure our borders, have a strong health care, go to the doctors of our choice. We can have all that if we'll just stand up and demand it. I believe that's there. Happy to come visit you in New Braunfels. We can go get a beer at Krause's and then come sit on your couch and do an interview.
That's it. We got it. We got a plan. You hear that, Greg? You hear that, Rich? We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And I agree with you. I think we live in the greatest nation on earth. And like I tell everyone, be more like Congressman Chip Roy here. Speak up, speak out. Don't be silent. You have a lot of support out there. We have a lot of support out there. We just need to speak up so we can find each other and stand up to this leftist agenda, because it's the one thing that we need to fight most for right now and for our nation. Thank you so much, Congressman.
Thanks, Eric. God bless.
Congressman Roy, thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. I'm telling you, I want him back. I want to bring Congressman Roy back on the show. He is just incredible. And I'm just going to keep buttering him up because I'm going to bring him, yes, in studio next time. Next time he will be here in studio with me. And I'm thinking of starting something new. I actually have not told my producers this, so maybe they don't like the idea. And maybe they'll cut it out, or maybe they'll leave this in. But I was thinking, like, whenever I bring someone into the studio, you know how Joe Rogan's always smoking pot? I'm thinking I should have like 3 or 4 different kinds of tequila behind me. And we should do a taste test. And we'll taste test the tequila, not enough, not a lot, just a little, and figure out what everybody's favorite tequila is. So that'll be kind of my thing. When they come here to the Sarah Carter studio here in Texas, we will taste test tequila. And you guys can send me your favorite tequilas. I would love to know. What if you hate tequila, just send me what your favorite drink is and maybe we'll put it back there. And I am not a drunk. I do not usually drink. But I thought that would be kind of fun. It's a Texas thing, right? We should know what our favorite tequila is. And apparently there's a lot of them out there. Even The Rock, I think, has his own tequila. But I told you guys before I close out, we are going to talk just quickly about how Starbucks and other businesses in these blue cities are closing their stores because of massive crime waves. They just cannot afford. This is so great. These are the people that really wanted all of these woke DAs, these district attorneys that are hanging out, you know, getting funded by George Soros, like we saw in San Francisco, like we've seen in Seattle, like we saw them try to do in Fairfax County, Virginia, and all across the board, all of LA, all these Soros funded DAs and these, you know, totally liberal ideas. Oh, by the way, those liberal ideas are meant for us, not for them. They have huge mansions with gates around them. Just look at Nancy Pelosi's house online. Look it up. Look up these folks, Barbara Streisand, all these people that tell us how to live our lives are not living the way that they tell us to live. They live completely different. And so now you got Starbucks closing profitable stores because of these massive crime waves. And they were one of them. I mean, they were one of them, you know? They were the, you know, drumming it up, do what you wish, live your life, don't, you know, low bail, no bail. We got to help everybody, butterflies for all, until all of their stores were being ripped off, until vandalism took over and now they've got to shut down. You guys remember, if you saw me on Sean Hannity in Portland, you would have seen for yourself, just Portland alone. I mean, the disaster that beautiful city has become. I mean, I loved Oregon. I was like, oh my goodness, look at these trees. And, you know, just like everything I talked about in the beginning, these beautiful American cities with these gorgeous, you know, history and everything, and then just falling apart, and our children falling apart, and just drugs rampant everywhere, heroin addiction, crack everywhere, people living on the streets in their own filth. It just mental illness surging, the Chinese communists just taking advantage of our open borders because of all of these ridiculous blue crime crime waves happening because of these policies from Democrats that are could care less about our country, could care less about our nation, and are trying to implement these ideological, I don't even know, these kind of political views that will never work. Not at least not for us. They might work for them. Let me read you this. It's from Breitbart. The Starbucks Corporation announced last Monday that it's closing, listen to this, 16 stores in the United States because of safety concerns for workers. Do you want to know who suffers the most? Are the people in those poverty-stricken communities, the good people that want the police there. They want to arrest them, these criminals. They want them arrested. They want their children protected. Good guys don't usually buy guns legally. Not usually. Sometimes it happens, but not usually. You're not going to keep weapons away from a bad guy. You're not going to keep bad guys from busting into a store and stealing everything if there's no cops around to do the job. When I was in Portland, Oregon, they said they're not even arresting people selling dope on the streets anymore. They just can't. DA won't prosecute them. They just won't do it. So listen to this. The coffee retail were closed permanently, six stores in Seattle, Washington, and six more in the Los Angeles, California region. Two stores will shutter. Where else? Portland, Oregon. And one store each in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. And I'm pissed because when I travel to these cities, I want some Starbucks. I need to stay awake. And now they're closing down. So I'm just going to carry my instant coffee with me everywhere because in blue cities, right? We just got to do that. Carry your instant coffee with you. And by the way, bring some extra sets of clothes because other businesses have shut down. These cities are turning into crime wave, like some kind of crazy Batman movie, like Gotham City. You're just trying to survive two blocks. You don't want to get pricked by a needle by a heroin addict. You don't want to be mugged. You don't want to be accosted, or you don't want a man to jump on you and try to rape you in the middle of a Walmart. I'm sure some of you have seen that video. This is just insanity. Insanity. So we got the store in Portland, Oregon, and one store each in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. We read every incident report you file. It's a lot, wrote U.S. operations leads Debbie Stroud and Denise Nelson in a message to employees on Monday. This is from Starbucks. We read every incident report you file, and it's a lot. We cannot serve as partners if we don't first feel safe at work. Folks, Starbucks was founded in Seattle. That is just so sad. It is so sad that our beautiful nation that offers so much to all of its citizens and to our children and to people from foreign lands is working against itself and its own priorities in these democratically run cities, and they are being destroyed. They are being destroyed. You know what the saddest part is that there are a lot of good people that try to get to this country. Many who come here legally and many who come here illegally. There are good people in those groups. They're just trying to get away from the crap and the shit that is happening in their own nations. The corruption, the failure of the justice system to work for them, the failure of their own law enforcement and federal agencies to protect them. So they believe and they know in all their heart that if they come to America, that here they will have the opportunity that they never had anywhere else where they've come from, where they live, from their nation of birth, that they are willing to give all of that up and come here to give a life to themselves and their family that they would not be able to get there. And then they end up in another crap hole, like in the middle of, like, you know, Seattle somewhere, or Chicago, or somewhere in, you know, in the worst parts of New York, where there's no cops, where the gangs are in control, where the Democrats have actually allowed the criminals to have the upper hand. What the hell? Hopefully America is waking up. Hopefully we get some common sense back and some common decency. The people that are suffering the most, folks, are the people that are from these impoverished communities or communities that are just, you know, like business downtown areas like Los Angeles or Seattle, where, you know, you've got people there that are going to work or that can no longer get a coffee in their own building because of the homeless crisis around them or because of the drug addiction crisis around them, which is usually works hand in hand. And America just turns from being this beautiful beacon. What about walking your own children? Try walking your kids. I hope this never happens, but you know, imagine going through places in Portland, Oregon, where people are laying on the streets, just shooting up heroin, and you've got to get your kid. I saw this. You got to get your kid a couple of blocks down into a Montessori, and you're walking around homeless men whose pants are hanging down. Or like me, when I drove my daughter through near GW, I was out by GW and we were down there in Georgetown and there was a man completely naked in front of somebody's home with their hose scrubbing his private parts as we were stuck at a red light. You know, we have got to get people back in office like Congressman Chip Roy, who have common sense and more than just common sense, who have the common decency and who have the guts to stand up to the Democrats and say, this is BS. We're not going to listen to you anymore. We're going to fight you all the way on this, the right way. And we're going to expose your lies and who you are. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. It's been awesome sharing my story with you. I'd love to hear your stories about what you love about America. That would be kind of cool too. If you get a chance, and maybe we'll put this out there, or let my producers know to put this out on Twitter or maybe a clip on YouTube. What would be really cool is if you guys could tell me what America means to you. And maybe we can read them here on the show, on the podcast, and just kind of get an idea and just start spreading the word. We have a lot to fight for here, folks. This is the most amazing nation on earth. Let's not lose it. There are warning signs everywhere, but it's up to each and every one of us to not be that silent majority. We have to wake up. We have to shout from the rooftops. We've got to do our part to be a part of our nation's political system. That is what our founding fathers intended us to do. And guess what? That's what our children and our grandchildren expect us to do the right thing and to fight for them. Again, thank you for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Remember, go to sarahacarter.com, sarahacarter.com for all of the latest stories. I want to follow me on Twitter at @SarahCarterDC and on Instagram at @SCarterDC. God bless you. God bless our great nation. And God bless the great state of Texas. Today, I'm joined by Rebecca Weber, the CEO of the Association for Mature American Citizens. It's also known as AMAC. Can you share a little bit with the audience about your father, Dan Weber, and how he founded AMAC and why?
My father formed AMAC after he recognized that the AARP really was not representing his values. And those values were really faith, family, and freedom. And my father believed in America's greatness. He believed that there was what he described as a cultural shift occurring in our country. He thought that the very, very foundation, the Constitution, was being disregarded. And we saw that the power of government was growing and individual freedoms were diminishing, were being threatened. And to get more specific was in 2006 when he said to me that he was canceling his AARP membership. And I said to my father, why would you do that? And he said, well, they've just named Harry Belafonte Man of the Year. And he went on to say that Harry Belafonte had commented to Hugo Chavez saying that George W. Bush was the greatest terrorist threat in America. And my father said something is wrong with that. So he saw the AARP make this sharp left turn. And that was when he said, let's form AMAC. And I said, let's do it.
Rebecca, thanks so much for being with me today. I'm honored to have you and AMAC as a sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show. You know, for more information, folks, visit AMAC.us/Carter.
Hey guys, we know it's hard to keep up with all the news these days, but don't worry because we're here to talk about all the things. Biden's playing the blame game with inflation. Twitter is after Elon Musk and suing him for billions. And Hunter Biden is back in the news after content from his current iPhone was leaked. Hey, it's the Chicks from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Politics to pop culture, nobody's safe, but it's all fun. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.